Tip Tap Tip.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle. And guess who's on the show? It's not like we gave a clue or anything.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Shane.
Hi, Shane. You've been gone a long time.
64 days.
64 days. For some reason, I thought it was longer.
It seems that. Heart grows fonder. How's it go? Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
There we go. That's exactly what we're talking about. So, you're back, but you're gone tomorrow. Girls, you missed your chance. Is set sail.
Yeah,
the SS Shane Scott.
One last night, though, tonight.
Yep. And then you're back for Christmas.
And then back for Christmas.
Man. Holy cow. Never here.
Just this time of year,
you know,
over the summer months, I'm usually here for like 3 months straight, and I'm getting on everybody's nerves, and they're like, when the hell are you going back to work?
But then when he's gone, we're like,
Shane. It's not even 2 days, but then all of a sudden it's like, geez whiz.
Yeah. Well, we've had an interesting week. Things have happened. We made things happen. And now they're back to normal. That's all we're going to say. Right?
Well, we can say Ime Hair Studio is no longer open for business. It is closed.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a hectic week trying to tie up any loose ends.
It was fun.
So, Shane helped out. Thank you very much, sir.
Not a problem.
So, strong muscles carrying large pieces of furniture.
But Rochelle has not retired her scissors. She's working at another salon starting this Tuesday. I'll put up a link to the Ime Hair Studio Facebook group, which has more information. You can check it out. Book an appointment, please. There we go.
Yep.
That's that.
Should be good.
So, yep, such is the joys of running business. There we go. We have a website, which we do things on.
What is our website?
TipTapTip.com.
That's right.
Whoa.
It's on
Isn't
the,
that easy to remember?
That's so easy to remember.
TipTapTip.com.
Yeah.
All right. Be quiet. I want to isolate this, and we'll do what you just did so I can...
But he already did that. We already have a clip of that.
Okay, we'll do something.
It's got to be spontaneous.
Okay.
Yeah, Aaron.
Fair enough.
I'll get something else.
I'm not a fucking. You're not a clapping monkey.
No. Just.
And you're not a director.
No. Yeah.
I'm not much of anything.
And what do you call that thing? The old the organ grinder. Right?
All right.
Taskmaster over here.
But we got a new. This is exciting news for us. Might not be for. Everybody else listening out here. But we replaced our shitty IKEA table.
With another shitty IKEA table.
with another slightly less shitty IKEA table.
Yeah, it was really less shitty until somebody stepped on it to put the legs out.
Yeah. Sorry.
What did you do, Rochelle?
I stepped on the table when I was screwing the legs on it, and I think that's what fucked everything up.
Well, that's okay. We're going to be switching this shitty IKEA table for... the least shitty IKEA table that we have in this apartment, right?
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with this thing, so.
Yeah, for the desk, whatever it's
just for the legal side of it, though, anybody who works for IKEA, they do not have shitty merchandise. It's just that certain things happen to it that makes it shitty.
Have you opened a LAC table? Have you seen what's in the inside of the
IKEA? It's cardboard.
It's fucking cardboard.
I know what's in her. It's cheap. It's cheap furniture, but it's not shitty by any means.
No, there's...
Okay.
There's like...
For legal purposes, I think you should put that in.
There's
a knock at the door. Hello.
The cheaper furniture...
I am representing IKEA.
The cheaper furniture at IKEA is basically what you pay for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the more expensive IKEA furniture is actually not that bad.
Mm.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
There's like shittier... And then not so shitty.
We just threw out a LAC table today.
Shitty, not so shitty.
Actually, shite. Everybody I knew in art school had an IKEA LAC table. You know the ones I'm talking about, like the sort of basic small table, square.
Like a night table? Like a nightstand?
Yeah.
No, like the $20 one?
It's like $9.
Oh, is it $9 now?
Well, I know that was the very first piece of furniture that I bought at IKEA was one of those tables. And I was so excited. I was like, really? I didn't realize it was so cheap to buy furniture. Like, why didn't my parents buy me a night table a long time ago? It was only $9.
Furniture is only $9? Fuck. Why didn't I get that all the time?
You furnished your whole house for $200.
But that table that we just threw out, though, that was handed down to us by the previous tenants of this place.
Oh.
Like, we didn't even buy that.
So hand me down.
Oh, so it's not even out.
A $9 hand-me-down table that we've had for 3 years.
Yeah. I don't know what's shittier. Shitty IKEA furniture or shitty IKEA passed-down furniture?
Yeah.
So we did our last episode on Wednesday. It was kind of an impromptu thing. We were doing it at our friends, Chris and Leslie's place. They had a little recorder there. So we did it completely, unprepared.
It was fun.
It was fun. And, go ahead.
Improv.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, like Eric didn't have notes. So I think it was more improv for him. Not so
I'm completely lost without my notes. I don't know what to talk about. I'm just like, I farted.
Turns to completely to potty humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Much like when I'm on the show.
Yeah. But we did talk about a couple things, including Chris and Leslie's trip to Ottawa. And our listener of our show, Scarborough Dude, had a comment about that.
I can't really see.
Oh, don't wreck the computer.
Delighted to hear your guest rightfully identify the American Embassy in Ottawa as a monstrosity. It resembles a giant fist coming up through the earth and is surrounded by far more security than could ever be required, to the point where traffic is restricted on one of Ottawa's main drives. It's hideous and sadly represents the mindset of the USA today. Angry, fearful, ugly, menacing, and paranoid. It is it's a hideous blemish on an otherwise beautiful city.
You know what's funny is I just got back from Ottawa and I saw the US Embassy building.
And oh, you so agree? You know exactly what
and
we're talking about.
And I know because we walked down to the side and it's almost like a full... I'd say I'm almost two full city blocks.
Yeah.
Wow. My brother told me how they annexed a full extra lane of traffic, and then it's just nothing. Every 3 feet is one of these huge...
towers?
Yeah, like a little tiny, I don't even know what you call it, but barrier. You know those concrete barriers you put in front of Walmart and whatnot?
So oh, yeah.
It's just, every 3 feet is one of those for an entire city block or two.
Why?
And well, because they're angry and they're paranoid. And they think everybody's out to get them. Watching USA.
They're going to come knocking
what
at your door.
What color is the building?
It's like gray.
It's like prison color, right?
It's just a generic downtown
I pictured
building,
black
right?
for some reason.
Well, it was nighttime when I saw it, so I don't know. But, I mean, it's hideous.
Did you sneak up on it?
And it's funny, though. Hey, but hey, you're right in the middle of Ottawa.
So it looks like a prison?
So you've got to be PC, right? The U.S. barks and we jump. I'm sorry to say it. Canada's lately has been USA's whipping boy, right? Like, I mean, we need you to do this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you don't put up a stink because, what is it, like 95% of our economic, not that high, but a chunk of it goes to U.S. trade.
Yeah. Right? A lot of exports go to there.
Yeah. So you piss them off and they're like, oh, well, hey, I guess we're not going to import softwood lumber for a little while. What? Why would you do something like that? Well, we want to build this thing and you're not letting us. Okay, well, why don't we just look at it a little further and next week is passed. Go ahead.
So, you know. Okay, has there always been like huge American stores in Canada? Or is it just recently that all these huge American stores are coming here? Because I don't remember, like, being as a kid, you know, you go to the Bay, you go to Sears, you go to Zellers, and all those places were Canadian-owned, weren't
they?
They still are.
Yeah. The Hudson's Bay Company, they're still...
Hudson's Bay is now owned by Walmart.
No.
No, it has been purchased by, like, an American...
Has it been purchased by somebody?
Yeah.
Well, hey. Oldest company. It's the way of business. I mean,
it's still the Bay, right?
No, I know, but like, if anything happens, that means that if, you know, all this financial shit that's going down in the States, I mean, it is obviously going to be affecting us then too,
everybody.
Because then people who are working for these American companies.
What was that documentary that came out there a couple of months ago, Too Big to Fail or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, I mean, they're just such a major part of the global economy. I mean, everything that's made in the world somehow makes its way to the States for sale. Doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are, whatever product you have, at some point it's going to go to the United States for some sort of sale and purchase, right?
But wouldn't it be better if, like, Canada just had their, you know, if the big companies and stores where people purchase everything were Canadian-owned? Like, wouldn't that be better for our economy?
But, I mean, let's just take for an example. You come up with some stupid little idea, like, say twist ties hadn't been invented.
I wouldn't want to live in that world.
Just ridiculous world that would be, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, you come up with an idea for a little plastic-covered piece of wire that you can wrap around bags and wires and everything like that. Well, you know, if it's just an okay idea, like the shake weight, right? You know,
yeah.
I'm going to sell
about
the shake weight. Well, you're talking about hitting 1% of the population that's stupid enough to pay three payments of $19.95 on a television program that you've just paid for to buy your product.
Yeah,
you hit 1% of Canadian product. That's what, you know, 300,000 people, because there's only 30 million here, right?
About that, yeah.
So you hit 300,000 people times whatever the cost of your product is. You hit 1%. Down in the States, and you've hit 3 million people.
Yeah, but
right?
I'm not talking and about,
if you hit
I'm 1% not talking about
and
selling
only,
stuff in the
no,
States.
No, but you know what I mean, though? If I'm a small Canadian company, what would I rather have, 300,000 sales or 3 million sales?
3 zillion
sales. Right, you know what I mean? And if I'm only making a dollar a sale.
No, but I'm not talking about
us
going in.
Difference between making 300,000
I'm not talking about us going
into
there and selling stuff there. I'm talking about them coming into Canada and selling stuff to us.
Because they're making so much.
Let me just say this, though. If there are any American investors out there, Tip Tap Tip is always willing to negotiate when it comes to selling our product. info@tiptaptip.com is the way to get a hold of me. Let's talk. We'll come to an agreement that we can all be happy with.
300,000 a year.
Sure.
Do Tip Tap.
I do it for 300 pennies a year. I don't give a shit.
Wait, you suck when it comes to money. It's
yeah,
like
the negotiation.
Like, do you
let's
even,
go to negotiation. How about 300,000 a year? 300,000 pennies? Perfect.
Here's how the negotiation would work. You're like, tell you what, do you want this one stupid piece of paper with the 100 on it, or do you want 3,000 of these shiny metal discs? 3,000? That's more than one. 3,000 metal pieces is more than one piece of paper. Okay. So I negotiate. So then I'd walk away and go, man, he don't know what he fucking missed. I totally pulled the wool over his fucking eyes.
I am so glad that you don't own your own business.
Because I can't negotiate my way out of a fucking wet paper bag.
Because I think that me, are you secretly like a hillbilly in disguise living in the city? I want the shiny ones.
Yeah, I'm putting my voodoo voice over the so-called intranet.
One of these days, I don't think this is going to happen.
That would explain so much, that like the whole hillbilly thing. That would explain why you like the retard haircut and why you like...
You go back to return a haircut.
That's what Rochelle calls my haircut.
This haircut, I call it the retard haircut because it is so short. You don't have to do anything to it. You could, you know.
I thought you meant like you went and got a haircut and he came back and is like, I want to return this.
No.
I'd like to give this back, get my old haircut back.
No, not a return haircut.
I've got an extra chromosome. Can I return it? It's not doing me any good at all.
No. That would make a funny joke, though. Like, he's so dumb he went to return his haircut.
Why don't you work on that, Paul? Shut up.
There's something in there, man. I'll figure something out.
This story was sent to us by a listener named Calvin, who also sends various things here and there. this is quite interesting. If you are into science, which I am, and I think you... Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a song about science?
Oh, there's definitely a song which
Weird
is coming
science.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Particles... Particles found to travel faster than light. Scientists of an experiment in Italy announced that they have measured neutrinos, subatomic particles, going faster than light. This challenges Einstein's special relativity, which says that the speed of light is a cosmic constant and nothing in the universe can travel faster.
Oh, man.
This is turning things on end.
This is a red letter day, man. I've always said Einstein was full of shit. Relativity theory. Well, it's relative to me. You're an idiot. Of course it's all relative. You're a dick.
The implication of the discovery is sensational. If the finding is proven to be true, in other words, the light speed barrier could be overcome. Time travel might not only exist in science fiction, but also be possible in reality.
Woohoo! So are they going to do it?
So next time someone says, go fuck your mother, you go, could if I wanted to.
Oh, that's sick, Eric. Why would you think about the first thing you think about in time traveling is going to fucking your mother?
No, I'm not saying.
Oh, come on.
Hey,
there's so many other better things you could do.
It's your hillbilly.
You're totally, totally.
Golly, I'm going to go back into the times.
I got to go poke my mama.
That's how I was born. Uh-huh.
This outhouse is a time machine as well.
Isn't that whole storyline on Futurama when he goes back and does the nasty
and back in the future? Well, he didn't fuck in back.
No,
the
but he kissed her.
Yeah,
but in Futurama, he goes back.
He's
and
his own
his
uncle,
grandmother.
Or he's his own great grandfather, or something like that.
He's his own grandfather.
When what?
In Futurama? Futurama, when Fry goes back in time, he bones his grandmother to give birth to his father, who gave birth to him, right? You know what I mean?
It's a weird paradox. Anyways, there's a group of musicians called the Corrigan Brothers who put together a theme song about neutrinos and this incredible...
Oh, already?
I know. They're on it. It's a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
It's called the Neutrino Song.
Turlo, it's like no slower than a neutrino. We can't believe it, we weren't prepared. Does E still equal MC squared? The neutrino has taken flight and is seemingly faster than the speed of light. Turlo, 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 turlino, it's like no slower than a neutrino. Was old Albert wrong? Oh, can it be that fabulous theory of relativity is being debunked for the first time? But he still might be right, old Albert Einstein. Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino. Now physics forever may not be the same, and boffins are gonna be driven insane. If light's not the fastest, what can this mean, oh? And is something faster than the neutrino? Turaloo, 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 turalino, is something else faster than a neutrino? Let's not rush to conclusions, let's take our time. He could still be right, old Albert Einstein. Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino? Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino? Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino? Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino?
I'm surprised that they rhymed anything with neutrino.
Well, they had to make it up.
Mino, Trilino.
Trulu, Trulino.
Lee Trevino.
Yeah.
That's a good
nice.
Hey, neutrino, like, why do I know that from... It's got to be from, like, Star Trek or something.
Oh, yeah, there's all sort of Star Trek words, like positrons, subspace. I'm sure the neutrino was in there somewhere.
A neutrino graph or a neutrino analyzer.
That neutrino, alien has
neutrino waves.
That green skinned alien has awesome neutrinos.
She's got three of them.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
So if you made a suit that's made out of neutrinos and then you wore it, because it's matter, right? So if you made something,
Don't ask the non-physicists. Sure.
I guess if you could harness the neutrinos, then you could harness stuff that's faster than the speed of light.
It's like, I need you to come over quick. Yeah, I'll be there yesterday. Whoa.
Oh, hey, I need you over here right away. Open your closet.
I'm already here, baby.
I've been here for weeks.
That would be right. Creepy.
Yeah. What did you need?
I need a syringe. Just open your closet. I'm already here.
If you have any topic ideas, any questions, stuff you want to share, info@tiptaptip.com. That's our email address. If you're an American investor, or you just want to say something about the American embassy in Ottawa,
I would rather have a Canadian investor. Sorry.
Really?
I like Canadians.
Keep it home growing, man.
Keep it home, yeah.
Okay. Pot laced brownies served at a Southern California.
Speaking of homegrown.
Pot laced brownies served at a Southern California funeral sent three people to the emergency room over the weekend.
Pot laced brownies served at a funeral?
Well, I guess.
Fuck.
Two 71 year old women and an 82-year-old man were taken to a hospital emergency room Saturday following a friend's memorial service where a tray of pot brownies was offered. They complained of nausea, dizziness, and an inability to stand without assistance. Well, they're also 82.
Sounds like they're, in medical terms, fucked up.
The three didn't know the marijuana-laced sweets were being offered in memory of their friend. Who ate marijuana brownies. Please say the baked goods were put out without any announcement about what was in them. So, like, a little Ted cart.
Of course they were. You know, if they put it in the announcement, the funeral of John Jones will be held on Sunday. Pot-laced brownies will be served.
The cops would have been waiting for everybody just to snag one.
No, I've never actually...
Yeah, but I think that they should be able to tell people.
No,
if someone stand there or offer them,
drug, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah,
I know.
You're not going to announce it.
You're giving away pot.
Why don't you have some of these brownies? Wink.
I feel sorry for those old people. I
mean, yeah.
You're 71. You don't want to get stoned.
So well, you know what
even,
they got, though.
You can't
they got,
even walk.
They
like,
totally got
cool.
Body stoned and fucked them right up, man. That's mint. I believe the technical term for it is half-baked.
Dr. Sean Connery in the house. Hello.
Hello, Money Penny. Pass me one of those brownies.
No, I've never actually had pot brownies, but I would imagine that they wouldn't taste that good. The chocolate. Like,
excuse me.
That, you know, despite the fact that there's...
I don't know what you're talking about, Eric.
Well, people that I know...
All right, I got a funny story.
But tell me about this friend that you know, Rochelle, who's told you about this.
Well, my friend told me that they were good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't even tell.
Like, tasty-wise, they're good, or...
Taste-wise,
they taste
it's not
like
bad.
Shit, but it's the buzz that gets
yeah.
you.
It's not bad.
Just before,
not like they taste like disgusting.
Just before I left to go down to the States, I don't know if I told you guys this story, but
yeah.
I went over to a friend's place.
Yeah.
After hours, we finished up drinking. Let's go. He's like, let's go back to my house. We'll have a few more drinks, play some guitar. A couple of girls were coming back to hang out, blah, blah, blah. I play a few songs on the guitar. I get up to go to the washroom. I come back out and he's after handing out these chocolates.
Okay.
And they're in the shape of the Easter Island head.
Oh, wow.
Right? So they're actually, wow, okay, homemade chocolates. Well, everybody's eating away, and I look over, and there's one sitting on the countertop.
Yeah.
So Fatty rolls over and picks it up. I'm licking my fingers, and Peter looks up to me, and he's like, back down to the counter, back at me. Dude, did you just eat that chocolate? I'm like, yeah. Dude.
That was a weed chocolate. I'm like, oh no.
Oh no.
And then his buddy goes, you ate the whole thing? When I want to get high, I only eat half of one.
Oh shit.
And within
you're tripping balls.
I tried to go and make myself puke it back up, but I can't do it. I just can't induce it. But anyway. And within 2 or 3 hours, oh man, I've never been so high before in my life. I had, and then the next morning, this was like at 4 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
We were up the remainder of the night.
Yeah.
I never got a wink of sleep. At 11 o'clock, I had to take out because I had to go for a doctor's appointment. I'm just sitting in the doctor's office, paranoid as fuck, right? Yeah. Went back into work, talking to all my bosses, just doing the old shifty eyes, right? Who's looking at me? Hey, we need you to go back and use this utility knife. Oh, man, I'm going to lose a finger. Just the worst sensation I've had in such a while. I was high.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fantastic.
So you were still like...
But, I mean, I don't do drugs like that, right? You know? Last time I had an actual toke was like 5 years ago or something.
But did that affect you... Like, were you still high the next day?
I didn't start coming down until 6 o'clock that night.
Wow.
Whoa.
And then it was like, oh, yeah, finally.
And then were you still tired? Were you tired?
Was good. Next day I was good. I was tired, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I was paranoid for the next 3 days because it's like with my company, they drug test you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, oh, my God.
Just randomly, right?
So I know the people with HR and... So I just asked them to check me out real quick before it becomes mandatory to check me out.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't do it often enough, it was just barely noticeable.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, it was enough that it just completely fucked me around.
Wow.
You know. But, hey, body stone. There you go.
There we go.
See, and maybe
so I know where those old dudes are coming from.
Yeah. Maybe these old people were like, maybe the brownies were really tasty and they had more than what they should actually have.
Yeah.
Because I think
that a full brownie would mess you up.
Yeah.
You know me and chocolate. If somebody put out brownies and on a table, I'd have like 4.
I know. I can't help it. You totally would. And then you would be
too fucked up.
Because
I wasn't so much hungry as I was Thursday. Because I was free. I might be having my 3rd table.
You're like, turn me over. Turn me over, Rochelle. I'm done.
What up?
Fuck. Anyway, this is a...
One time I had brownies from this person that I was working with.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what was in them. So I don't
even know. Might have been pot. Probably.
Might have been arsenic.
And then I thought it would be fun. Like, so I'm like walking home and I just had a little bit because he said like they're really strong.
Yeah.
So I just had a little bit and then I was saving some for later, and then I went into a video store, and I rented Twin Peaks.
Oh, jeez. Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I thought, well, you know, like, maybe when you're high, like, you understand these movies. A David Lynch movie. Yeah, like, maybe you get it.
Yeah, that'll help.
You didn't go and try and claw
your fucking eyeballs out? Fuck.
I know. It was
Wizard
really bad.
Of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon.
No, like, I was watching Twin Peaks, and the movies are different than the TV show. Like, they're freakier. There's, like, this little midget who talks.
Backwards, yeah.
Backwards, but it's like, okay, so they made it backwards, but then they made it forwards again or something like that. And then, so they have subtitles on the screen so you understand what he's saying. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, why are there subtitles? Like, I get what he's saying. I don't understand why there's subtitles. This is fucking weird. And the little midget dude started to really, really, really scare me. And I couldn't finish watching it. It was messed up. I would never do that again. I didn't like it.
Who made the brownies again?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, it's like I got them from someone that I worked with, and one of his clients brought them in to him.
Like, I like brownies. Yum.
No, he told me that there was stuff in it, but I don't, you know, he was just like, they're special. And I'm like, okay.
What, they have sprinkles?
Eric.
Extra chocolate. They're
marshmallows?
I love brownies.
Yeah. That's Hillbilly Eric. Sprinkles? Make them special.
Hillbilly Eric.
Somebody done left some chicken in the front seat of this truck. Smash. That's Hillbilly Eric.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Somebody done left some chicken in the front seat of this here truck.
I'm going to get it. Smash. Jailbreak. Just rocking it outside of Mason's window. That's a homeless person's voice. Sorry.
Oh, that's so bad.
Shane, you're the worst. Stuff. There was we've talked about this on the show before. There's various people who actually dress up in real life and act as vigilantes, like they're want to be superheroes, right?
The guardian angels.
No, these are guys who actually dress up like
like the superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, so Shane, what superhero would you be?
No, they're their own superhero.
No,
right?
I know, but what would you call yourself if you were to have a superhero name?
Jeez, I don't know. Like, if I was, it would all be dependent on what kind of power I would get, I guess. Right?
No, but like, you don't get a power.
I just get to choose, like, all right, I want to be Spider-Man, you mean?
No.
Like, it's kind of like Batman, right? Like, he likes bats, but he doesn't have a special power.
Just has a bunch of shit.
I don't know, man. I guess,
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll play this clip.
Think about it.
You mull it over, and,
I'd be an even evil villain. I'd be the fornicator.
Nice. I make all the ladies pregnant.
Bow down to the fornicator.
Nasty.
All right. You'll just have to bear with it. I'll show you this clip later, but so you can see the guy's costume, but we'll just play this.
The streets of downtown Seattle have an extra set of eyes tonight. A self-proclaimed superhero is back on patrol after enduring a week filled with controversy. Come up for Lindsay Cohen, tagged along with Phoenix Jones tonight. She is live in downtown Seattle. Lindsay?
Well, Sabra, that patrol started about an hour ago on this very street corner. As you can tell here behind me, it is just about wrapping up. A superhero that had a super high-profile week and says he wanted to clear up the confusion and continue on his mission. Tonight, Phoenix Jones was back out on the streets of Seattle patrolling with other members of the Rain City Superheroes as well.
This is a the group that he's a part of, the Rain City Superheroes. This is a group.
And it's in Seattle?
Yeah. It's a bunch of guys going out in the streets with pepper spray, fighting crime, trying not to get stabbed.
Yeah, it seems kind of silly because people have guns and
I know.
Stuff.
It's like, I'm Phoenix Jones. Sure. Pow. Dead.
Yeah.
Right. Now you're just dead, Jones.
Oh. All right.
As regular citizens, they left from Pike Place Market at about 10 p.m., made a stop.
Oh, my goodness. The dude Seattle has, like, a kid and play haircut. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shane, you can't make the computer bend that way.
You can come around the table if you really want to see what Phoenix Jones is all about.
No, I'm good.
Belltown. Jones, whose real name is Benjamin Fodor, says this started off as one of his worst weeks ever, but then it quickly became liberating. He was arrested early Sunday morning after an alleged fight caught on camera by a friend. On the tape, Fodor, dressed in his superhero outfit, runs up to a crowd, pulls out a can of pepper spray, and appears to shoot it at several people. Fodor was arrested
and then he was chased around by a woman who's trying to hit him with her shoe, and he's running away. He's just trying to avoid her, but
suspicion of assault, but prosecutors earlier this week declined to file charges. Outside of court on Thursday, he took off his mask and revealed his true identity and says he plans to keep fighting crime on the streets of Seattle as he's doing tonight.
I wanted people to just walk around and understand what it is that I'm doing and that everyone's doing it. They just don't know. If you walk from your car to a show and back to your car, that's being on a patrol. The only difference is when I see crime, I call 911 first, wait, and when it gets dangerous, I step in. And I feel like every citizen could do that.
Well, the group plans on patrolling from downtown Seattle up into Belltown, as they did earlier today, to encourage other people to be alert and to help keep the city safe. Fodor adds that he's in a backup suit because what he calls his super suit was actually taken by police as evidence earlier this week after his arrest on Sunday night.
There you go. Well, I guess even superheroes aren't immune to the law when they take the vigilante.
Yeah, don't you know, like, in Batman movies and stuff, like, the cops are always trying to get Batman, too. because they don't know that he's good, because he's always at the scene of the crime.
He always walks the line between being a vigilante and being a guy.
The use of necessary force.
Mm-hmm. So you've had some time to mull it over, Shane.
He already said he's going to be the fornicator.
Oh, yeah, the fornicator. Yeah.
But does that mean that, like, say
Phoenix Jones, and I could be something like that, too, I guess.
If Phoenix Jones, like, comes up and is fighting with you, does that mean that you're going to fuck him?
No.
Well, I'll fuck him, all right. Boom, you're fucked.
What would the fornicator's outfit be like? Your super suit.
I'd have dildo nunchucks.
Nice.
I think I'd be the samurai pimp.
I like that one better.
Walking around with dildo nunchucks. Ooh! Messing people up.
Yeah.
What would you be, Eric?
I would be the tattler.
What does that mean?
He's just always telling me.
Calling the police.
Dime dropper.
Some guy with like 12 phones.
The tattler. That's fantastic, man.
I have 12 phones. All of them go right. The police are always on speed dial. He's doing something.
I think then, I would be.
And I'd run away.
I'd be. I can't come up with anything good. Betty Bop, when I would like bop people on the head.
You have giant fists?
Yeah. Punch you know, like those machines, that those games where you smack the gophers back into the holes?
Oh, the whack-a-mole, yeah.
You could be the whack-a-mole.
Betty Bop. Whack!
Have giant...
That could be a superhero right there. Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Is what? Yeah, he just goes around with a big big mallet.
Pounds you into the ground.
Bites you in the head. Nice. I'm taking this cup of coffee, but there's not enough. Bonk. Whack-a-mole. Who the hell was that? That masked rodent.
I'll get you, gopher.
It's not gopher. It's whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, let's see what else we got here. Sesame Street.
Uh-oh.
What?
What's going on with Sesame Street?
It's nothing big. Sesame Street is introducing a new puppet character named Lily that talks to children about poverty and hunger, because this Muppet is homeless. Lily is a 7-year-old who talks to viewers about insecurity over whether her family will have enough to eat. The puppet goes to a pantry for food and also volunteers there. As Sesame Street executive Jeanette Betancourt said, the show invents new Muppets occasionally, usually to help illustrate particular social issues. 4 years ago, a Muppet was created for a special on military families at a time of war. So we have a homeless Muppet who's for food.
Wait, whoa.
Stop the
front. All right, hang on. All
right.
I'm gonna claim redundancy on this one because they already have Oscar living in a trash can.
I know.
Anybody who's homeless, Oscar.
You don't get more homeless than living in a garbage can.
Yeah, but Oscar's not really like, he's like a monster, right? Like he's not.
He's a Muppet.
No, I know, but he's
he lives
not
in
like,
a garbage can.
No, but he's not like a real person Muppet. Do you know what I mean?
As opposed
like,
to
I never looked
any
at
any other Muppet that's not a real person.
No, but they have like those ones that look like people.
Muppets
look
aren't
more
real,
like people, right? You know, like they're not green furry things.
All right,
okay. So they're brown fuzzy things rather than
they, you know, they have like
I know.
You okay there?
Yeah. And I know what you're talking about, but
But I don't understand why is this homelessness, is that a huge like huge growing problem in
well,
the States
right,
right
let's,
now?
You know
I
what,
guess
here,
like
here, you know, here would be my argument towards that.
In this economy, Rochelle, maybe
what purpose are you fulfilling here by putting that character into play on Sesame Street?
I don't know.
Like, who is your target audience?
You know, you're just...
It's children.
It's children, but... Yeah.
And the last time I saw, there's not a whole lot of children out there with a lot of disposable income that can help out the homeless.
Yeah, but they're also...
Right? So...
Yeah, but they would be helping their parents.
Now, the only thing that they're doing right now is they're just tooting their own horn, saying that they're, you know, socially aware of what's going on, and this is our reaction.
Did you ever see the clip of... on Sesame Street when Mr. Cooper died, and the adult, like, human characters were trying to explain to Big Bird the concept of death.
No.
That brought a fucking tear to my eye. That was so... That is, like, heartbreaking, right?
Oh, yeah? But, hey, I bet you damn they wouldn't be able to put that on there nowadays because you can't talk about death.
No, they did it in a way which was...
No, but you know what I mean, though? It's like that subject now all of a sudden is taboo, whereas, boy, like, hey, let's throw a homeless dude out there.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you show the homeless dude drinking back a bottle of hooch? Oh, no, we can't do that. Well, hey, listen.
Why don't we have puppets with drug addictions?
50% of your homeless people are chronic abusers of alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Prove me wrong, right? You know, but right now, that's where you're staying. You're not going to explain that to the little kids, are you?
They're going to be talking about the other 50%.
Yeah, for sure. And then now you're all of a sudden you're reducing your 50% to a target audience that has no capability of responding to a social issue except for, oh, mommy, can we do something to help Lily? Sure. We'll send her extra
box of macaroni and cheese.
Let's go down to Fabricland and buy her some extra skin.
You fucking asshole. You piece of shit.
That's gross.
But you know what? Like, I mean, hey, what, you know? It's funny, man, because like we were talking about the other day. We went down to dinner there Friday night, and there was a bunch of leftover food, and it was like, hey, why don't we just grab it to go?
Sure.
And we'll give it to some bum on the street. And I've done that a number of times. Like, you walk out. Sorry, excuse me.
Okay,
you walk
buddy.
Out and you got a box full of food.
Yeah.
Tasty food. And some guy comes up, hey, man, you got some change? No, but here's a half a sandwich. And they give you a look like, really?
Yeah.
Or they don't want it.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? You're homeless and you're hungry all the time and you're telling me you want money. But when I offer to give you a meal, you turn me down. Well, hey. Charity only goes so far, man.
Yeah, but that's because they get a lot of they get food and meals provided to them.
Boo hoo. There's a free one. Right?
No, I know, but they're
still helping
you
stop your hunger. Now all of a sudden you just want
to go to like places. There's, you know,
no, I know the mustard seed and all that stuff is there to provide meals.
Yeah, so if they want food, they can go to those places. They don't want food. They want money.
Well, then, hey, man, can you spare some money so I can get something to eat? Here's a sandwich. You know, you get some sort of reaction like that.
Yeah, because they don't actually.
Or it's like, hey, dude, tell you what, why don't you come down to my work tomorrow? I can give you in a job. Tomorrow, whereby I will put you up in a hotel for 2 months. You'll pocket every single bit of money you can. You don't have to have any expenses because we're going to pay for everything for you. We'll even give you the clothes you need, the boots you need, everything you need to get off the street today.
Mm-hmm.
And most times it's like they'll just look at you and they'll just turn around and walk away.
Wow.
Now, if you don't want to cure your situation, then don't come looking for money from me. I'm sorry. I mean, and sometimes, hey, listen, I'm not saying like I'm a cold-hearted, squeeze a little bit of blood black into that stone of a heart of mine. I mean, I give some guys some money sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I try to work at it some other ways. And I tell you what, I can get you a job tomorrow.
I don't ever give homeless people money, ever. Because
but they mark out their territory too.
No, but living downtown, I walk past the same homeless people so many times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start giving them money once, they're going to expect you to give them money every single time. And I'm sorry, but I can't afford to do that.
Mm.
And also, like, it's not like, you know, a whole bunch of money that we can just share to everybody. Do you know what I mean?
No, and I know
and
that
I don't
too.
Think most people don't have that.
You know, for whatever reason, because Calgary is one of the richer cities in the country,
yeah.
For whatever reason, we've developed this bleeding heart attitude towards the homeless problem. Well, okay. And granted, yes, sure. Some people are homeless because, you know what, they've lost their jobs, they've lost everything they possibly could have, and they're living out of their car.
Yeah.
And the 1 or 2 or 10% of those people that, if you give them a hand up rather than a hand out, they'll use that advantage or that assistance to better their situation. But, I mean, like when you bump into that same person who's been living on the street now for, you know, I've seen him there for 5, 10 years, and he's still bumming for change. And the only thing that's changed in the last 10 years is you've gotten older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'm sorry. Right?
But I think a lot of it is also like medical.
Like mentally wise?
Yeah.
But sure. And there's a percentage of those people. But listen, when I see a 16-year-old out on the street bumming for change, you're telling me that every time I see a 16-year-old or a teenager out on the street that they're coming from a troubled home? Some of them are just out there because they don't get along with their parents and they refuse to live at home.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, your parents are still responsible for your sorry little ass because you're underage, you're a minor. And you want me to feel sorry because you're living on the street?
I know, Shane, this is a pretty heavy topic.
Yeah, no, I know it is a heavy topic, I'm sorry, but you got me all wrong.
I don't know if this is proper topic for Tip Tap Tip. Yeah.
Let's dumb things down a bit.
Hillbilly Eric.
On September 6, 2011, we received a report of an unknown person defecating at a portable at Fort King Middle School. Since that date, we've had 4 other incidents, and on today's date, October the 7th, we located video surveillance of a white male subject we believe responsible for all the incidents. We'd encourage anyone with any information to please call the Ocala Police Department at 369-7000 or Crime Stoppers at 368-STOP.
There's a mystery pooper on the loose, defecating in school portables 4 times, in fact.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Well, like he took a dump?
took a dump.
Or he's whacking it in there.
No, he pulled down his pants, squatted, and took a big old deuce.
And it's in a porta johnny?
No, in like a school portable.
What's How is he able to get into a portable?
It's like a portable building.
Yeah,
like, you
so
know,
he
like
just took a dump right in the middle of the school.
Yeah, like on like through the entrance way. The school portable.
I mean, that's a dedication to cause right there. I mean, you gotta go out of your way to go. Is the same portable?
Same portable, same dude. Maybe.
Do they have footage of the guy?
Yeah.
Do you see his face?
You see him.
Because I'm assuming it's probably some dude who maybe somehow worked for them.
It's
or
an old
went
teacher.
To school
it's
or,
just recently released yeah, teacher.
Yeah, something
like
that.
There you go.
Like, that's a big fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
That's like in that John Waters movie when the guy gets like shit in the mail.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
that's so gross. Oh, look, we got a package. I wonder what it could be. Oh, look, it's shit.
Did you hear the story about the 2 old bras down the state who for like 40 years sent the wiener back and forth to the mail to one another?
Like the same hot dog?
Same hot dog.
Gross.
Yeah. And I guess you'll... 40 years later, it's just a shriveled up piece of meat.
Like a Slim Jim?
Like they are.
Like what?
Like the 2 old bras.
Ew.
Shriveled up.
Ew.
Anyway, go ahead.
Do you have a bit of extra money kicking around, Shane?
I guess what?
The death machine used by the late Dr. Jack Kevorkian in assisted suicides will be among the items up for auction in an estate sale in late October.
What's it currently listed at?
It doesn't say.
Is it like those telephone booths from
No. Not like the
Futurama.
No.
Futurama.
25 cents.
Kevorkian, known as Dr. Death for helping more than 100 people end their lives, died in June at the age of 83. Kevorkian was convicted of second-degree murder in 1999 after a CBS News program aired a video of him administering lethal drugs to a 52-year-old man suffering from Lou Gehrig's disease. He served 8 years in prison. As a condition of his parole, he promised not to assist in any more suicides. So, it's a piece of history.
Mm.
Yeah. You want to on some of that?
And what was it? A bed or something? Is that what it was? Eric? Hello, Earth?
Sorry, I'm hearing
You heard a telephone go off.
Right? Anyways, no, it was like, from what I understand, it was just a machine that he had set up. That the person who had like a terminal illness or were constantly in pain or whatever, they would push a button or do something, and then it would administer the drugs to themselves. So while he didn't actually do it to them, he set up the means to do it to themselves if they were unable to do so, right? Because like they were unable to move.
Oh, so then he didn't really do it then.
No, but he just basically said.
But he kind of did.
Here's, you know.
Is that how he was able to do it to 83 people?
Yeah, well, he set up the machine to do it.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of
did
it. Wow. Yeah.
You'd probably make some good money off of that.
I don't think he was in it for the money.
I don't think he did any profit out of it.
I don't think he was in it for
it. Really?
Because there was a documentary out there a couple years back. You don't know Jack Stern.
So then why would he do it? Just
because he felt that it was a humane thing to do. Like if you're, and to be quite honest, like if you look into yourself and you say, like, if I'm ever in a situation whereby I'm stuck in a wheelchair.
Can't move.
Can't do anything.
Pain, like constant pain all the time.
There's would a you movie consider, about that.
Yeah. Would you consider.
The Sea Inside, that the guy from.
Yeah.
What's his name? Xavier.
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you ever consider taking your own life?
Yeah, this guy, he jumps
into.
Or
if you were unable to, would you consider asking somebody to take your life for you, you know?
Yeah.
It's a hard decision to make no matter how you slice it, but.
The Sea Inside is really good. Like, he jumps into the ocean and he hits his head on a rock.
Yeah.
And then he becomes paralyzed.
Right.
Like, full body paralyzed. And he can't do anything.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And that's what basically the struggle is that he wants to end his life. The whole movie. It's so sad. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Really good.
The
Yeah, that would suck. You can't even wipe your own butt. You have other people doing everything
for you. It's different if that's been your whole life. Like, but, if you were born that way and all of a sudden.
But if
like,
you know what it's like
to experience
fuck.
Everything and then to go to where you can't experience anything. Right, you know?
Yeah, I think the worst part was when he was like laying in his bed and he's looking out his window and he's like, I just want to go outside and I can't even do that.
Mm.
Suck.
Man. Well,
not unless they invent teleportation.
Well, or they got some way of. Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things going on now for spinal cord injuries. You know, they're coming around with the stem cell research and things like that to where they're going to be. I'd say in 10 years, you'll see somebody walking again who had been in a wheelchair for a good portion of their life.
That would be crazy.
Right?
Will they have robot legs?
No, just regular legs. But
robot legs would be kind of cool.
That would be cool, too.
Okay. This thing I found.
Do you still have your leg?
I still have my leg.
Put ice in it. It's a nice bottle of champagne chilling on it.
It's above the bar.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, but it's mounted.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, went over to Shane's place yesterday. And I was actually quite impressed with the work that you've done on it. You created the most comfortable basement, probably for guys to hang out in. You know, have the
basement in a guy's house. The basement is always the dude's den.
It's totally the dude's domain.
You got the jukebox set up. You got record player sliding out of the thing.
Yeah,
it's good. Good times.
So now that you're driving, Eric, you're going to be over at Shane's place all the time.
Whenever I'm in town, Eric.
Hey, Shane, what are you doing, Shane?
I'm going to run out and grab a coffee, Rochelle. You went in there?
Yeah, okay.
3 hours later, Rochelle's back up. You two? Nowhere.
He's doing stuff and junk.
I think he's cheating on me.
You're hanging out at Shane's again.
You're cheating on me with Shane.
Oh, fuck him.
Nasty.
The Amish are fighting.
No.
The Amish are known for their simple, peaceful lifestyle. But breakaway members of the religious group are accused of attacking fellow Amish. These men are being held on charges of kidnapping and burglary. The trio is accused of going into a home and cutting the beard off a 74-year-old Amish man and his son.
They went into the house, announced themselves, and I'm here, Sam Mollett sent us here We got to take care of some religious men.
Okay, you might not have caught that, but one of the Amish people who was behind this was a gentleman named Sam Mullet.
Mullet?
Yeah. Behind this. Nice.
Does he have a mullet?
They have gross neck beards. But they're, yeah, you caught that. They're having some sort of beef with another Amish community. They got into this guy's house at night. They cut off his hair and his beard, which I guess is a big thing if you're Amish.
Yeah. It's.
And then all hell breaks loose.
The leader of a breakaway Amish group says the beard cutting is a religious matter, and he believes the issue should be handled by the community, not law enforcement.
It's all based on our religion, you know, that's what the whole thing's about. And instead of the Amish people staying with that, they get the sheriff involved in it. And he shouldn't be involved at all.
Sam Mullet's two sons and another man were arrested for the attack in rural eastern Ohio. The 66-year-old denies that he ordered the attack, but says it was done to send a message. Mullet believes the Amish are trying to force his group of 120 people to change.
They changed the rulings of our church here, and they're trying to force their way down our throat and make us do like they want us to do, and we're not going to do that.
Amish men typically grow beards as adults and stop trimming them when they marry. The beards are held in high esteem. There are reports of similar haircutting attacks in the area, but officials have been hampered by the reluctance of Amish to press charges. Orlarisi, Associated Press.
The Amish are going crazy.
They're going beard crazy.
Haircutting attacks. Wow.
You don't hear that every year.
But you know what, Shane? If somebody like snuck into your place and cut all your hair off, you'd
Oh, there'd be blood.
Like, why didn't I buy that Kevorkian machine? Fuck.
What?
Why didn't I buy that Kevorkian machine?
I've been buying a Kevorkian machine. You're going to set yourself up for a fall.
Fuck. Oh, it's in my grasp.
All right, let's wrap things up, shall we? Well, this is fun, hanging out with Shane again after a few months of Shane going on the road, like doing what you do, which I'm not entirely sure of. I think it involves blowing shit up, possibly. Maybe
that's,
not.
That's for a bit, that's a bit the gist of it.
All right. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, why don't you tell your friends to listen to it? Go tell them to go to tiptaptip.com and check out the show and stuff like that. Write a nice review for us on iTunes because we are on that. Give us 5 stars, 5+ stars if you can, 20 stars, which you can't, but if you can, do that. And say nice things, right?
Roger. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather have a truthful review. Thank you very much.
And stuff. Thanks to the... to the listener who bought a Tip Tap Tip t-shirt. Hope you enjoy it. Whoever you are.
So there.
Yeah, and if you want to buy one yourself, just go to our website, check out our merch.
Yeah, on the store link at the top, and buy some shirts. They're nice. Nice, nice stuff.
I want to get one with a new logo on it.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. You guys got a new Tip Tap Tip logo?
It's kind of a variation on our one. It's kind of like, it's a black t-shirt with like a sort of a dark gray ghosted logo.
See, I think Eric should make ones with like naked chicks on it, and then there's Tip Tap Tip covering their parts.
Ooh.
And then also with a dude, naked dude.
Covering his junk.
Yeah.
All of his junk. Tip Tap Tip, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll post
I think that'll be cute. I would totally want one of those.
Well, maybe I'll get on that this afternoon. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. My name is Eric.
Did you forget your name?
My name is Eric.
Rochelle.
Your name is Rochelle.
Yeah.
And that is?
My name is Shane.
All right. Bye.
Shane! Bye.